My guest at this time is Dr. John Lott. He is the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, which you can find at crimeresearch.org. He is also the author of the very popular books More Guns, Less Crime and The Bias Against Guns. We want to get his response to Secretary of State John Kerry once again signing a United Nations treaty that many people fear could erode the Second Amendment. And Dr. Lott, thanks very much for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
We're talking about the Arms Trade Treaty, and Kerry's actually signed this once before. It's pretty clear that it's not going anywhere in the Senate, and the Senate Foreign Relations Committee Chairman Bob Corker has already admonished the administration not to try and do anything funny before the Senate would consider such a treaty. What is the purpose of the treaty? What is its purported purpose, and what would it actually do?
The claimed purpose is to try to make sure that gun trade is regulated across countries, that somehow the claim is that terrorist groups and other rebel groups around the world are getting guns because of private gun owners there. It ignores the fact that almost all of the guns that these different groups get are from other governments, not from private individuals. But the notion is that by requiring licensing and registration of guns, it'll be possible for governments to go and trace the path of these guns to prevent them from getting into the wrong hands. And the problem with it is that, look, different places around the world have tried licensing and registration in order to supposedly solve crime. And in theory, if a gun is used in a commission of a crime and it's left at the crime scene, and it's registered to the person who committed the crime, then you can go and use that gun to trace back and find out who committed the crime. The problem is that really never works. And the reason is pretty simple. One, crime guns are rarely left at the scene. Two, when they are left at the scene, they're not registered to the person who committed the crime.
Obviously, the UN has this stated purpose here. But what is the balance here between what the UN wants to do and the U.S. having to go along with it if it's ever going to get out of the Security Council and so forth, in conflict with the Second Amendment? Is this an administration that wants to see the UN trump the Second Amendment, or is that reading too much into this?
Well, I think the main effect of this law is going to be on other countries. You know, a country like Canada, for example. This treaty, once it's out there, can be ratified at any point in time. And so, Canada just got rid of its long gun registration a couple years ago. It had originally been enacted by an earlier Labor government there, and it had cost billions of dollars and hadn't solved any crimes. In fact, before the long gun registration was eliminated, it was clear that even the handgun registration that had been around since the mid-1930s had not been able to go and solve one single crime. It had been very costly and produced no benefits in terms of making people safer. Well, this UN treaty, if the Liberals or the NDP get into power in Canada, and it seems fairly likely that the Conservatives could lose this coming election, and if they do, then Canada is going to have this implemented and have those rules, some of them that they've gotten rid of recently, going to be reimposed. And I think the point of this is just to try to reduce legitimate gun ownership in other countries. And that eventually has some feedback effect in the United States. If Canadians are much less likely to own guns than, gun control activists will point to them and say, look how outlandish we are in the United States.
So it's more of a snowballing effect rather than if somehow this were to clear Senate consideration, that there would be an immediate impact on the rights of the individual gun owner.
Right. I mean, I don't think this is going to impact American gun owners directly, because I don't think you're, at least for the foreseeable future, going to have a U.S. Senate where you can get 67 votes for something like this. You may be close to half or something at some time, but that's still a large leap away from being able to get 67 votes. My big concern is the impact it's going to have on countries around the world, that there's going to be pressure on other countries in particular to go and reduce gun ownership, and then eventually there'll be pressure from those other countries back on the United States.
Dr. Lotta, as I mentioned earlier, Secretary Kerry's already signed this once. He did it again on Wednesday. Any idea why we're going through this again?
Well, I think it's just a political statement. I think it's just making it clear to everybody how much they support gun control in this administration. But, you know, we've tried registration and licensing of guns in parts of the United States. Hawaii, for example, has had it since about 1960. I was involved in testimony before the Hawaii legislature a little while ago, and they had the Honolulu police chief come in, and they asked him some questions. They said, how many crimes have they been able to solve in Hawaii as a result of it? And it was zero. It couldn't point to a single crime that they had solved. And then they asked him, well, how much police time does it take every year to go and implement this? And just for the Honolulu Police Department, it was about 50,000 hours of police time each year. That's 50,000 hours of police time that could have been used to go and solve real crimes. We know traditional police work works. It's extremely important, I think, in terms of my research, in terms of reducing crime rates. And yet, here we want to go and waste this huge amount of manpower that could be used to save lives and protect people to go and do this meaningless paperwork. And I think the main point of it is just to make it costly and difficult for people to go and own guns. It's the opposite of trying to go and make people safe. And that's unfortunately what a lot of the gun control rules that the Obama administration and others have been pushing. If you look behind these expanded background checks, I think the main reason why they get pushed is that they impose a cost on people obtaining guns, which will lower the gun ownership rate, and I assume eventually they believe make it easier for them to pass other stricter gun control laws.
Last question before we let you go, Dr. Lott. Obviously, some people look at this treaty and see how the Obama administration is taking the Iran agreement and not treating it as a treaty. There's a climate negotiation going on for a big global agreement there that the administration has no intention of submitting as a treaty. This one actually carries the name of the treaty. Do you have any concerns that the administration might try to implement something like this without Senate consideration?
Well, I mean, the Obama administration could try to put out executive orders to kind of on its own implement parts of the treaty, but the difference between a treaty and some type of executive order is that an executive order can be changed by the next president. Now, if it's somebody like Hillary Clinton or Joe Biden, they're not going to have any interest in changing it, but presumably if a Republican gets elected, they would. So, but I think generally they're just trying to do what they can in order to try to make it costly for people to own guns and reduce gun ownership, and this is just one out of many ways that will give them an excuse to implement a few other executive orders that maybe they wouldn't have tried to push otherwise.
Dr. Lott, we'll stay on it, and I know you will as well. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
Dr. John Lott is the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. For more information, go to crimeresearch.org. He is also the author of numerous books on this subject, including More Guns, Less Crime and The Bias Against Guns. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.